And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's a beautiful day outside, and I'm very thankful that you decided to wake up and join me on your radio. Someone's trying to call. Why don't we just go ahead and take that phone call? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I can't believe I got into you.
Are you kidding?
2 weeks in a row.
Did you really? Well, get us going this morning. How can I help?
Well, I talked to you last Saturday about my lymphocytic colitis, and you told me to eat low starch or no starch vegetables and fruit. I just need clarification. Is that all I'm supposed to be eating are vegetables and fruit?
When is the last time that you've gone to the doctor and they've done blood work? Was that a month ago, a week ago?
Probably about a month ago.
Did they ever do a stool analysis just where they could specifically grow and measure the types of microorganisms that live in your gut?
No, they only did a stool test to see, because last time I was a little bit anemic, and they did it to see if there was blood in the stool, but there wasn't any.
I bet you anything you would be completely agreeable to having a stool analysis where they can measure the types of microbes that live inside of you, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is back in the year 2005, this study came from Poland, but to me it's very, very intriguing. And what they studied was the idea, what's going on in the guts of healthy people? And what they found is over a five-year period, people that had that were very, very physically healthy, meaning they didn't have diabetes, there was no cancer, no blood pressure issues, no weight problems, nothing going on that they could measure, they almost always averaged about 1,050 unique beneficial species of microbes living in their gut. And I think that's intriguing. Because when they look at people that have all the autoimmune diseases and diabetes and heart disease and cancer, they only harbor about 700 unique species of bacteria. That's one of the reasons why I think over time birth control pills, because birth control pills tend to alter the gut microbes. Antibiotics. Well, everybody knows that when you take antibiotics, sometimes it kills the good stuff too, right?
Right. Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why with chronic lymphocytic colitis, I really think it's going to be a game of trying to overcome the bad microbes with the good microbes. So this is where eating stuff like raw sauerkraut comes in handy, or kombucha or kefir water, or if you get some high-quality yogurt, or getting raw pickles or kimchi. Actually, that was kind of risky saying kimchi because that might set your mouth on fire.
Right.
But just the idea of trying to continually supplement with probiotics. Now, when I say probiotics, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the good, beneficial bacteria that if they reside in the gut, then you don't have all this inflammation. But if you don't have enough good bacteria in the gut, then what you have is you have toxic stuff growing where it doesn't need to grow, like candida and yeast and other forms of even mold and toxic bacteria. Does that make sense?
Right.
How many bacteria do you think you should take a day orally if you were going to supplement with a probiotic?
Well, you told me 200 billion.
I think that would be a good number for starters.
And that's what I got on. I started on it Monday.
All right.
And I started on the aloe vera gel and kombucha. Is that how you say it? Kombucha?
Yes, ma'am.
And gut shot. I'm doing all that, and I'm doing the non-starch vegetables and fruits, and to eat two meals within 4 hours a day and fast for 20. I'm doing all that.
Wow. How do you think you're doing so far?
Well, I have seen an improvement. I don't have the rumbling and grumbling and churning in my gut that I had, or the pain.
You think that means you have just a little bit less inflammation than what you did have?
Probably so.
Yeah, I do too. Way to go.
But I just didn't know if all you wanted me to eat was fruits and vegetables.
No, I have no trouble with you eating meat. I mean, do you like the sound of eggs for breakfast?
I do.
Then have eggs.
Okay. Okay. I like, you know, I'm not a big red meat eater, but I do like chicken, and salmon is my absolute favorite. But anyway, I just kind of have been not eating. I did eat eggs a couple of days, and then I thought, you know what, I don't know if he meant, I didn't get that clarified.
So, I think if you ate fish, like you said, you love salmon, that's your absolute mm-hmm. favorite. In my mind, fish is absolutely the easiest to digest of all time.
Okay. I'm doing the bentonite clay and the activated charcoal, all that. I have seen a little improvement in the stools, but not like I'd like to see.
Well, but you want to see it where it's better, smoother, well-formed, right?
Right.
Well, your day's coming. If you have less churning and gurgling in your gut and you have less uh-huh. pain and inflammation, then you're definitely trending in the right direction. So this is good.
Okay. The only area that I have a little pain is on my left side, about the waist and okay. down my abdomen.
Had you ever been diagnosed with having diverticulitis or diverticulosis?
No. Okay. No, I haven't.
Do you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I guess sort of I am, so let me just kind of say it gently, but when you go to the bathroom and you have a bowel movement, do you feel like there's just something lacking, like it should be a little bit larger and better formed?
Well, now, yes.
Okay.
But
well, are you
when
I'm sorry, go ahead.
When I don't have the flare-up of this, no, it seems to be fine. You know, as a matter of fact, the norm for me has always been constipation. But
okay.
But well, I am still seeing some undigested food in my stools.
Well, do you take any digestive enzymes?
Like what?
Well, if you were to go, say, tell me where you live, by the way.
Lindale.
Okay, so if you went to a health food store or to a store that sold supplements, what you might look for are a supplement called digestive enzymes.
Okay.
And what they do is they help you break down and digest your food. Enzymes are those chemical, you know, proteins or messengers that help split apart proteins. So, by the way, I'm not picking on you, but I've changed diapers before, you've changed diapers before, and you've seen a piece of whole kernel corn that wasn't chewed up in the diaper, right?
Right.
But do you feel like that you chew your food thoroughly enough?
Mm, or do you maybe not.
Well, one thing that's been shown to greatly enhance digestion is just to slow down, which I'm the worst at that. There's nobody worse than I am.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm pretty bad about that.
You mean we may tire for first place? Eating food the fastest?
Right. So that is something I definitely need to work on, yes.
Well, you know, I had three older sisters growing up, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that they just ate everything and didn't save anything for me.
Oh, you poor thing.
I'm joking. There's probably two of them listening right now. They're going to give me a hard time about that comment.
I'm sure they are.
But it does go to show you, though, sometimes what you learn in childhood tends to stays with you a long time in your life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. That's true.
So if you're seeing undigested food, if you will attempt to, you know, there's a lot of ways to do this. But when you said you love salmon, is there mm-hmm. any chance that you're going to become burnt out if you have salmon once a day for the next 3 days just to see what happens?
I doubt it.
How about if you just cook it in a skillet on the stove and just use butter and saute it with, butter, and if you want a little bit of onion, that's probably fine. If you want to put lemon juice or lime juice on top of it, that's fine also.
Okay.
And if you wanted to have some spinach along with it, then hey, you could just do it all at the same time, and that could be your meal.
Okay, that sounds great.
Maybe what I was getting at, salmon is a higher fat fish, right?
Right.
It has plenty of good oil and fat in it. When you consume oil and fat, it helps get rid of inflammation in the gut. I've actually seen people that had horrible ulcerative colitis, and we put them on high fat, all of a sudden everything begins to change for the better. And so fat plays a very advantageous, valuable role in helping to get rid of inflammation.
Oh, okay.
So that's an idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, do you feel confident that you're moving in a good direction?
Yes, I do. I feel better than I've been feeling, and I, like I said, just the fact that when I eat, or even, I mean, I could just take a drink of water, and before, and my guts would just start, turning and grumbling. And
boy, isn't that discouraging to have that happen to you? Just water.
It is, and I don't have that now.
Good.
I mean, I might have just a little bit, but not near like I had it before.
Do you think maybe this is the best that you have done over the last 2 or 3 months?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Then it gives me confidence in.
Absolutely.
So you feel like
I'm convinced you know what you're talking about.
Well, I was going to recommend Pop-Tarts and Doritos, but
I tried to
hold back on that recommend.
Okay.
Well, I'm really proud of you. You have really taken action. This is great.
Oh, well, I know that I can't totally get well from this. It's incurable, but at least if I can get it in remission, if I can get it under control.
Well, don't you think that's a worthy goal? Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
What if this goes into remission and it becomes so quiet and so uneventful that you don't even know you have it?
Well, that would be wonderful.
Well, that's a good goal, and I know that is achievable. But I didn't say it's without ups and downs. Obviously, well, you know as well as I do, high amounts of stress, they adversely affect every aspect of the body. And so hopefully you have a pretty stress-free day.
I think I'm pretty stress-free.
Oh, good. Well, I am so pleased with you. You get an A+ on your report card.
Oh, thanks. Okay, well, I'm going to let another caller get in because I know how it feels to try to get in and not be able to.
Oh, well, bless your heart. I'm glad you made in today, and thank you so much for your kind words and feedback.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
God bless you, and you have a wonderful day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling regarding my 24-year-old son, who started out having some upper right quadrant abdominal pain, and so his doctor did a CAT scan, and it showed a mild dilation in his bile duct, about 3.5 millimeters, and so from that, they did a HIDA scan, and it showed a lowered ejection fraction from the gallbladder of 21%. So, of course, they want him to see a surgeon, but we want to do
He's
natural
24.
Things, so I wanted your recommendation. Yes, he's 24.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, most likely. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he's willing to do whatever, you know, changing his diet, and we want to do this naturally.
You mean he'll do anything I tell him to do?
Yes.
Oh, man. This is like a rare opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of him totally. He's going to wish you never called. No, I'm only joking about that. Let me give you a couple ideas here. Number one, I'm just going to have to make an assumption, and it could be false, but I think it's true. Most likely he's eating something that's causing inflammation. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would have him do is I would have him just prayerfully, thoughtfully consider, just like I told the woman earlier, this was like last week, I told her to give up grains and just eat low-starch vegetables. And so if your son were to eat things like, well, the ones that I'm the most fond of are the high-sulfur ones. So that's going to be broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and kale. And let me see, what else can I throw in there? But if he were to eat things like salads and just give up all grains for about 2 weeks, what we would do is we would give his gallbladder a rest.
Right.
Now, just because I think what I'm about to tell you is very comical doesn't mean anybody else is going to think this is comical. But two days ago, a woman was in my office, and when I examined her, I think she and I came to the conclusion that the main issue she was dealing with was a liver that wasn't working right. And so when I examined her, one of the things I did was I took my fingers and I pushed into the gallbladder, and she did not like that. And when I pushed in the lower lobe of the liver, she sure didn't like that. And when I touched the liver neurolymphatic reflex point, she really didn't like that. As a matter of fact, I think she tried to karate chop me several times to get my fingers off her liver. And then when I pressed in her bile duct, she didn't like that. And where I pressed in the bile duct that joins the pancreatic duct, she sure didn't like that. Anyway, to make a long story short, I told her, and she had her phone out, and she said, oh, okay, I'm going to take notes. She said, this is really, really good. I'm gonna see what's going on here. And so I said, what I want you to do is, we're going to try to clean out your liver and your gallbladder, but we're going to do it very, very gently. And so if you have a blender at the house, and I think she had some type of large Nutribullet, and I said, hey, perfect. Hey, we'll take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, tell me what you want me to do here. And I said, all right, if you will go to the grocery store and you'll purchase one, or I'm sorry, you'll usually they sell them in bunches of three, buy a bunch of
right.
beets.
Exactly. Now, he's doing that shake. He's doing that shake because I had called you about the biliary dilation already, and so he's doing the beet, apple juice, olive oil, and that. He's been doing that.
Well, does he have really good, well-formed stools?
That's a good question. I don't know
came up
answer.
Right now. No, I'm joking.
Well, he's a police in Quitman, Texas, so he's on duty right now.
You mean if I drive through town at 110, I can get a free get-out-of-jail card if I help him?
Maybe.
Well, okay, if he's doing that, he's got to be able to tell you if the quality of the bowel movement improves, because what you want is you want bile to flow very efficiently from the liver to the gallbladder to the bile ducts to the intestines. And that is the number one factor for predicting what's called peristaltic contraction, or these wave-like, you know, motions where you have the conveyor belts of the gut work. And so if he's doing that, that's a good thing. Can I just give you some other ideas that are just very, very simple and doable?
Yeah.
If I told you this before, let me just repeat it again for the sake of everybody listening. When you have an inflamed bile duct, sometimes the number one thing that you need to do is just fast. Just give it a rest. And that's what fasting is. You give your gallbladder and your bile duct a complete rest from having to process and digest food. And I realize for somebody that's 24 and he's probably a very studly police officer that's very physically strong, the idea of him going without food for 3 days is like, are you kidding me? I can barely make it 30 minutes before I have to eat something. And well, I mean, when you're young and strong and pretty buff like he is, he probably is thinking, really? How am I going to make it, you know, at work? But fasting is one of the best ways to go about resting the gallbladder. But foods that I might consider, if I can kind of open them up a little bit, I would have no trouble with him eating peaches or plums or nectarines or apples. Of course, I said apple juice last time. Those are all going to be very good for him. Blueberries have one of the most amazing anti-inflammatory properties of any substance that I know of. I started to read an article about postmenopausal women who are prone to high blood pressure. When they consume blueberries, all that stiffness in their arteries started to go away. And see, that's very impressive to me. But blueberries are very, very good at getting rid of inflammation in the gut.
Okay.
If we did a blood test... If you looked at the blood test and it was a CBC with a differential, that just means cell blood count or complete blood count. If his neutrophils were high, that's a type of white blood cell, and the lymphocytes were low, that's another type of white blood cell, then I would think he's got some type of low-grade infection. And one of the main jobs of the bile produced by the liver is to absorb and soak up infections in the body. And so if that's the case, there's two or three other things that we can do. Number one, you could try just for a very short season, you could give him some food-grade bentonite clay just to help soak up some of the poison in his gut. Or you can give him some food-grade activated charcoal on an empty stomach. Just mix it with the water and drink it down. Does he have much...
Pardon?
Was that your husband in the background?
That was my dog.
Oh. I thought I heard a large growl in the back. But does he have a lot of pain, inflammation in his gut?
He's doing a lot better since he started that shake, and as well as the aloe vera gel. So it's better. It is a little bit better.
Is it enough to where he's encouraged that he's on the right course or the right path?
I think so.
Well,
I think
his gallbladder is sluggish. If the height of scan shows, did you say 21 ejection fraction?
21%.
Okay, just a little sluggish. And so the purpose of giving him maybe, and I know this sounds crazy what I'm about to tell you, but when he wakes up in the morning, I think I might actually have him drink a cup of organic coffee. And I would probably put a spoon. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, I Googled that, and I found an article from, like, 1800-something, and I can't remember the professor's name, but it said, start drinking coffee.
Well, this was published recently, right? Did you say 1899?
1800-something, I can't remember.
I was going to say that's when my grandfather was born, 1899. See, and I think it's worth a trial. I don't want to come across as everything I tell you is a panacea, because you know as well as I do, every human being is different. We're just trying to find the right combination that works really well for him, where he can be completely healed and restored and have no more symptoms. And I think that's a worthy goal. But you always want to remember that coffee is one of the highest sprayed crops on the planet. Just let me have your mental image right now of 25 crop dusters lined up on the runway, filled to the brim with pesticides. Mm-hmm. When they start making their dive bombing run over the coffee groves, I mean, so organic coffee, organic coffee. And it is so much easier to get than what it used to be. It really is.
Yeah.
You could even go into the Walmart on Broadway and Tyler, and you can find, what is it, 3 or 4 different versions of organic coffee. And certainly the health food stores. I think the health food stores have done a pretty good job of trying to offer more variety of organic coffee, but you definitely get what you pay for. And if you're going to drink coffee, it might as well be without 21 chemical residues added to it, right?
Exactly. So,
but what we may want to do is, we may want your son to consume, in a perfect world, this is what I would have him do. When he wakes up in the morning, he probably has just a little bit of time before he has to show up for work equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you realize every car that he pulls over today is going to say, hey, were you the one they were talking about on the radio this morning? But what I want him to do is, I need him to go for a brisk walk every morning. And so if he literally has to get up 30 minutes earlier so he could walk to the end of the block and back, we've got to increase the speed of blood flow and circulation through the liver and the gallbladder in order to heal it. And, you know, the truth is, as a police officer, he probably has a fair amount of his day that's just a little bit sedentary, right? I mean, is he stuck in a car for probably 4 or 5 hours a day?
Probably. I mean, certain days, yeah.
Is he really physically fit?
He works out as much as he can. A lot of times on his day off, they make him work, and so as a security guard. And so, I mean, you know, he definitely does when he can.
If he could do 2 things, if I could have him, when he rolls out of bed in the morning, take 1 ounce of extra virgin olive oil, any way that we can get it inside of him would work. If he wants to put a spoonful of olive oil in his coffee and then drink it down, then go for a walk, fine by me. He may have to take a roll of toilet paper with him, but fine by me. But we need to retrain that sluggish gallbladder to start contracting better. And that's what happens when you start taking a shot of... Now, what could happen, and I'm being serious about this, if he says, Mom, I'm going to do what Dr. Morgan says, and I'm going to take a shot of extra virgin olive oil every morning when I wake up, first thing. He may be a little bit nauseated, but actually that would probably encourage me, because when the liver and the gallbladder are a bit sluggish, it's very common to feel nausea, a wave of nausea that could last for like a good 20 minutes after you take the olive oil. But that tells me hitting X marks a spot. This is exactly what we should be working on. But if he'll do this for about 3, 4, 5 days in a row, all that will go away. And hopefully, he will start having smoother, better form bowel movements. And yes, my favorite color is probably a brown color. I don't like them when they're white or yellow or orange or red or purple or red, white, or blue. I just made that up. But if you want them to be more brown, showing that there's better bile flow. And so when stools are really light-colored, like kind of clay or sandy or, you know, yellowish, that's a bile flow problem. And so we want them kind of a brown color. The other thing that you can do that can help him is just give him probiotics. And I didn't get to it with the caller just earlier, but I thought about it in my mind. I thought to myself, if a person's having any type of a gut issue, their tummy hurts, it churns, it rumbles all the time, they have just excessive gas, the gas smells horrible, they have either diarrhea, they have constipation, I'm just kind of covering both extremes, then this is probably a warranted case for giving the person probiotics. These are beneficial bacteria that you can purchase at the health food store. But I would say a starting point is probably going to be about 50 billion a day. I read a brief article before I came on the air this morning, and the doctor was recommending 12 capsules a day at 4 billion per capsule of a probiotic. And I thought to myself, okay, if it were me, I would just rather take one capsule that contains 50 billion instead of 12 capsules that contain 4 billion each. And we're kind of on the same page on that, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, the concept of less is more, because I mean, that does happen. Your son's going to call you and say, Mom, really? 12 capsules a day? Really? Come on. So if we can simplify this just with one capsule, then have him start taking probiotics. But we've got to retrain the gallbladder. Now, the legs, in my mind, are the key. I think anything to make his legs stronger is going to help his gallbladder work better.
Okay. All right. Very, very good.
And the other thing is, he's not going to like what I'm about to say, but I'd like to be honest. He's highly allergic to firearms. And so if he would just turn those over to me, I would do him a great favor by taking them off of his, you know, person. That way he wouldn't be allergic any longer. What do you think about that plan?
No, he probably wouldn't go for that.
You know, he's not very serious about his health, I've noticed. No, I wish you the very best, but have him take a shot of extra virgin olive oil each and every morning, first thing.
Okay, I will definitely let him know all those things. And then, could I ask one question for my little mama?
For your little who? Mama?
My little mom.
Oh, yeah, sure.
She keeps having severe dry mouth, and it started after she had a bout of the flu. Last year, and it just seems like, of course, they filled her full of steroids because she ended up with pneumonia.
Oh, bless her heart.
And antibiotics, you know, yes. And so she just has this chronic dry mouth now, and she's tried the Biotin, and she's tried some stuff from Drug Emporium called dry mouth, and I just wasn't sure. I mean, is there anything to correct the saliva duct?
Yeah, and there's two or three things you can try. Number one, she probably has a very significant zinc deficiency. Now, that's just a guess on my part, because without zinc, you have no lubrication of any of the tissues of the body. I mean, you could, and I know this sounds kind of, you know, complicated here, but if somebody's low in zinc, you can see their joints and their muscles start to dry out, where they just become stiff and achy all the time. Yeah. And zinc can correct that. But if you gave her zinc, and then we gave your mother some aloe vera gel, I bet you she'd start to say that her mouth is much better lubricated than what it was.
Okay.
And the other thing that I would do, just to help stimulate all this, I would have her do a simple technique called oil pulling. And oil pulling is where you use sesame seed oil. You just kind of squirt it around in your mouth, between your teeth and through the teeth, and you bathe your teeth in your gums and just kind of swish it and squirt it around in your mouth. And then you spit it out after 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
And she could do that once. She could do that once a day. But let's see if we can't recondition all those mucus-lined membranes of her body, where she can start producing much better lubrication.
Okay, and you said that was sesame seed oil, right?
Yes, ma'am. Sesame seed oil.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just like when you go to the store and you have to have the sesame seed buns.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think that's what we got when I was a kid.
I know. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like a homemade hamburger, is there?
No, there's really not.
Well, I hope that helps your mom a whole lot.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes. You are the best mother and daughter of all time. Way to go.
Thank you,
ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, the phone line is once again open at 903-586-5257. If you want to join me on the radio, please feel free to call and ask whatever questions you like, and I'll be tickled to help. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for your phone call.
Last winter, things got to the point that I went and bought a heated mattress pad to keep my feet warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night, I was about ready to take the thing back thinking that it didn't work, and something was itching up on my calf, so I took one foot and scratched the calf with my heel. And I said, my feet aren't cold. So what this is getting at is I've got this cold burning in my feet. I've decided that it is burning, but it feels cold at night.
Kind of like a neuropathy, huh?
Yeah. And I've had that checked, and they said that that I did have mild neuropathy, but no.
Well, did they give you any type of a game plan to counter it or to make it go away?
They give me some compound cream. They didn't give it to me. They sent me to the drugstore to have it made up.
Right.
And it's got it's got lidocaine and other big words in it to put on my feet.
I bet you anything, you don't want to put it on your feet, do you?
Well, I don't. No, I've only used it a couple of times. Lidocaine, I don't know, this kind of tells me it might be related to Novocaine.
It is, and it's very, toxic, if you ask me.
So, but anyway, I just thought maybe you had some remedy that I could try to keep my feet from burning. They've even started burning during the day when I'm on the treadmill.
Yeah, I can't put myself in your shoes. But
No, your feet aren't big enough.
Yours are probably size 14, aren't they?
Close.
Really, are they larger than 14?
No. Well, but
If I had painful burning of my feet, I would not like that at all. That just would not be fun. And so let me give you just some brief suggestions, and you tell me if it rings true. Number one, if I were going to talk about nutritional supplements, and these are things that if you get them in the form of a supplement, you might actually be able to get a little bit higher concentration or percentage than what you would be able to get from the food. But there's one called vitamin K2. It is a fat-soluble vitamin. And I have found that K2 is very, very beneficial when it comes to any type of neuropathy. And so for your consideration, you might want to consider supplementing with K2. I know for a fact you get a little bit when you eat egg yolks, and you get a fair amount of it when you eat Gouda cheese. But if you have a physical problem that requires a little bit bigger bang for the buck, then we need to give the body an optimal amount of vitamin K2 so it can heal. And so
yes,
if you were to consume supplemental K2, hopefully we can find the Goldilocks just right dose. It's probably going to be a little over 1,000 micrograms a day of K2. You're going to tell me if you start to see your fortunes change for the better. Number next. As nutty as this may sound, all I want you to do is consider that wherever you rub castor oil, you increase blood flow and circulation, and that's what you want. Because if you increase oxygen, your blood and your circulation, that is what carries an ocean of nutrients and oxygen to your toes and the bottom of your feet. And so if you were to rub castor oil into your feet at night and then cover them with wool socks that were very comfortable, hopefully this would keep the castor oil off your nice mattress cover and sheet and bedding and stuff like that. But if you did that every night for 2 weeks, you're going to tell me if you start to see a significant change in the right direction. The next thing, when I read studies about people that walk barefoot in the grass or on the dirt, if you can, they have twice as many nerves and twice as many arteries, twice as many veins and lymphatic vessels as compared to people that wear shoes. And so, as crazy as this may sound, if you start walking barefoot in the grass or on the dirt, even though it may be very uncomfortable at first, you're telling your body you need to adapt and you need to grow new muscles in your feet, new arteries, new veins, new nerves. That's exactly what you want right now. That is the remedy for your problem that you have. Grow brand new arteries and brand new muscles and nerves in your feet. And you do that by walking barefoot, if you can. What do you think?
Well, I'll give it a shot.
The other thing that I would add to it supplementally, I love the idea of magnesium. I love the idea of zinc when it comes to neuropathy, and I love an herb called hawthorn. If you tried, and you know the other thing that you can try, when you go to a Mexican food restaurant and they serve you hot sauce, you probably like hot sauce, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of your favorite Mexican food restaurant?
Oh,
I'll tell you.
La Placita and Tyler.
You know what my best friend's wife calls it? La Placenta. It is not La Placenta.
It's no, Placita. It's not.
No, that's a good one. I like Little Mexico and Palestine. Have you ever been there before?
No.
I'm telling you, dude. You might be impressed. Anyway.
Yeah,
that's a long way from Highway 64, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's an herb called hawthorn.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Hawthorn, it has this very uncanny ability of an increasing oxygen levels in the blood. And magnesium does also. But
I take quite a bit of magnesium.
I think you're smart. But the reason I said the Mexican food or the hot sauce or spicy food is, you know what cayenne pepper is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a bad plan for you to take some cayenne pepper in the form of a capsule with your meals to see if you see a difference. And the one thing that can happen, if you start walking barefoot and doing these things, I can just about guarantee you there's a 50-50 chance that your feet are going to hurt worse and burn worse and feel worse before they get better. But if you're asking the body to start growing brand new blood vessels and new nerves, there might be a little discomfort involved for a short season. Would you be able to tolerate that if you felt like it was a healing response and your body's trying to regrow new arteries and veins?
Oh, yeah.
Well, give it a shot and see what happens.
I'll do it.
Good deal, man.
All right.
Thanks for your phone call. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio, this program is Health Essentials. I probably don't say that near enough, but any way that I can assist you, that's what I'm here for. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I have a little brief article I'm going to read to you. But I want you to consider this. Oh, we got a caller here. Thank you very much for your phone call. How can I help?
Yes, good morning. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I have osteoporosis, and I was recently put on Fosamax, and like one time a week. And the first time I took it, it didn't seem to bother me that much, but the last time I took it, I had real discomfort in my back, which I have a curvature of the spine. So,
really? Now,
scoliosis.
Well, mm-hmm. Did you have more pain where you had the scoliosis or the curvature?
Yes. And
well, do you think that was just a fluke, or do you think that was just the drug that did that?
Well, I thought it was the drug.
Okay.
But, you know, I was suspect. I don't think I did anything different as far as my routine or any mm-hmm. heavy lifting or anything like that. Now, the osteoporosis, oddly enough, was worse in my left thigh, which was a great surprise to me because that seems like the stronger part of my body.
Really? Yeah. So you in your mind, you're thinking that's the last place I expect to see it because I'm stronger on the left.
No, well, not necessarily on the left, but in the thighs versus my back, which I, you know, had scoliosis since mm-hmm. my teenage years.
Okay, that is interesting. Well, what do you make of all this?
Well, I really would like to treat it more naturally. I mean, I have up to my calcium and D3 and things like that. But well, I just wonder if there's another better option.
Yeah, let me, since you've already mentioned calcium and D3, let me tell you two things, maybe three, that are going to end up being probably quite a bit more important and give you a bigger bang for the buck. And I think you'll be pleased, especially because I know how you are. The moment you get off the phone, you're going to look all these things up on the internet, see if I'm accurate, right?
Would I do that?
Yeah, of course. No. But there's a vitamin that's going to complement vitamin D3. It's called vitamin K2. And the job of K2 is to make sure that when you have calcium in your blood, that it gets to where it's supposed to be, which is in the bones. And so as long as calcium makes it to the bones, you're in good shape. Because if calcium doesn't make it to the bones, then it's going to start building up in places like the lining of your arteries around your heart or your brain. Not what a girl wants.
Really?
So if you start taking vitamin K2, I think that you're going to be extremely pleased and surprised at how well it does for you. You'll probably tell me that you have less pain with the scoliosis.
Okay. Well, does that seem logical to you that taking the Fosamax would make my back hurt?
Right, it does to me because, you know, the first profession that discovered that Fosamax was a problem was dentists. Because what they discovered was when women would take Fosamax, their teeth would fall out. And they're going, dude, why are your teeth falling? Because it causes
the bone.
That
would be unhandy.
Yeah, that would not be handy, would it? I mean, if I'm walking in the Garden of Eden and there's an apple there, I want to be able to sink my teeth into it just like you do, right?
Right.
And plus, you got to have your teeth to crush and grind and chew food so you can digest it. But yeah, Fosamax, I'm an easy sales pitch on this, sister. If you tell me it causes a problem, I'm going to believe you. I'm all in. And
okay.
So vitamin K2 is going to be extremely beneficial to you.
Okay,
the other mineral that I really think that you need to really hit well here is magnesium.
Oh, I do, and I have had some sleep problems in the past, and I've been combined. I took melatonin for a while, and then I switched to magnesium, and lately I've combined the two, and I've really had some good success.
Do you think that they work better together than they do separately?
Well, yes, I do. For me, that they have initially, I haven't been on them that long.
Well, do you think the magnesium might work better than the melatonin?
I don't know.
Okay.
The melatonin mainly was just to help me get to sleep, but I think the magnesium helps sustain the sleep.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your feedback. I just want to know what you thought about that.
Yeah.
But
I have another. Go ahead.
No. That's right.
I have another question. My husband has had heart issues. He's doing really good. He's got diabetes, but it's under control. He's had prostate cancer, but, you know, the radical kind, but that's been like 10 years ago. He's doing great. And so recently at his checkup, his potassium was 1 point high.
You mean instead of it being like 5.0, it was 6.0?
No, I think instead of being 5.3, it was 5.4, 5.2, 5.3.
Oh, it was just like a tenth of a point higher?
Just a little bit.
I
just told him this really was a kind of a slap in the face to me because I try to eat, you know, heart healthy foods as much as I can.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it. I mean, most likely it's the medication he's on.
Avocados, you know,
that has
doctor just.
I can just about guarantee, you know, and like you were mentioning, avocados, aren't they just a super rich source of potassium? They are.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not it. Eating the avocados and having his blood potassium level go up. That's not it. It's not
okay.
Because
now, the doctor only mentioned bananas, which is easy.
We're completely on the wrong topic.
We mentioned bananas and potatoes, and potatoes kind of threw me for a loop because
What I should have said is, what did your doctor say about his potassium levels being a tenth of a point higher than normal?
He just said, just cut out the bananas and then...
That has nothing to do with this at all. I'm sorry. Two or three things that I would look at. If I had his blood work in front of me, I would look for any obvious sign that he might be slightly dehydrated. And it's not uncommon, because if you're dehydrated, your potassium levels will read a little bit higher.
That makes sense, because he drinks a lot of coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it organic coffee?
No.
Okay. Well, as well as I do, for some individuals, coffee can actually be a little bit dehydrating to the body, because it's not the same as water, right?
Right.
Well, okay. I would not tell your husband to avoid avocados or sweet potatoes or... zucchini, squash, or parsley, anything that's high in potassium. I wouldn't do that. They've shown that where potassium levels are absolutely the lowest in America, they have the highest occurrence of strokes.
Oh, wow.
That's very factual. So where people consume the most potassium from food sources, they have the lowest occurrence of strokes.
Okay.
And so most likely, if he's a little bit dehydrated, that could be the 100% the answer. Or if he's taking a drug for his heart.
He takes metformin for the diabetes. Mm-hmm. I don't think he takes anything specifically for his heart.
Yeah, he's not taking blood pressure medication, heart drugs of any kind.
No.
Do you think he would be willing to drink 3 cups of water in the morning instead of coffee? Ha, ha, ha.
See, we live in a Christian retirement community, and the guys meet for coffee twice a day. So
I bet you that's good visiting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Do they do this around the campfire?
No. Oh. Community center.
Oh, so they have a covered roof over their heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So come rain or shine, air conditioning.
Right.
Gonna need
ladies
that today.
Meet once a week. The ladies meet once a week, and the guys meet twice a day, every day, except Sunday morning.
Well, men need more encouragement than women do, right?
Get them out of the house. I think that's the big deal.
Well, that sounds great. I hope I helped you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a good day, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. In my experience, I just don't see it as being hitting the nail on the head or getting to the chief root cause of the problem, telling somebody to avoid potassium-rich foods. I don't think that addresses the situation. You have a hormone that's produced by the adrenal glands and the kidneys called aldosterone. And that tells you how much potassium you keep or you lose. So that's kind of the issue. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
This morning my question is about vaccines.
Oh, dear. I knew there was going to be a controversial topic today.
Yes, sir. I just would like for you to maybe tell us, as a parent, how can we go to the doctor and explain our rights and the fact that we choose not to vaccinate?
Do you mean to the pediatrician?
Yes, sir.
That's going to be the hardest sell of all time.
I know.
It's called the standard of care. And so if you have 100% of all pediatricians basically promoting and giving vaccines, to find one that says no to that or is willing to look at this differently, it's going to be very, very hard. And let me just give you an example. This was probably back in 1993 or 4. Maybe 1995. Anyway, it's more than 20 years ago.
Okay.
But I had this young mother come to see me, and she she brought her little baby in. And the baby might have been, I don't know, 6 weeks old. And then she came by my office in tears about a month later. And I was just completely in shock. Mm. But they had given the baby a complete round of vaccines. And according to the mother, they may have actually given her more than what they were supposed to. But it was just a horrible, catastrophic failure, but the baby died.
Oh, wow.
And then about 2 years later, a grandmother was explaining how her beautiful, perfect 12-week-old granddaughter died after receiving multiple vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories that I get to hear are beautiful, healthy children that can speak and talk, and once they get the round of vaccines, all of a sudden they can't talk anymore, or they have autism. Anyway, these are... I don't even want to call them drastic examples, but I tell you what, they shake you to your core, and you start to question. And let me say it this way. If we have 100 babies that all get vaccines, what would you say if 99 of them show no side effects but one of them dies?
Mm-hmm.
They would still, if that were my child or your child, it would be horrific.
Exactly, yeah.
That might be the worst thing that I think a father could ever go through, or a mother, is have a child die under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had several of those stories walk into my office and tell me, and I believe every one of them. I don't think that I'm just totally naive about that. I'm probably very naive about trusting people in other ways, but not about that. Why would they lie to me? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like anything else, you have to arm yourself with knowledge. I mean, doesn't it say in the Bible that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge?
Yes.
And I think the very next verse says, because they have rejected knowledge of me. The idea of pursuing wisdom and knowledge just means you don't know. And that's kind of like what I'm faced with every day. There's a lot of things I don't know. But if I'm not willing to read a book or to study, well, probably not going to really gain much wisdom or knowledge about the topic. But today, you could actually get on the website called Amazon.com, and you could click on the category called books. And then you could further scroll down to be more specific, and you look at natural health or alternative medicine, something like that. You could click on that, and then you could just type in vaccines. And one of the nicest features about the Amazon website is they have a feature called Take a Look Inside or Look Inside.
Right.
You can kind of click on the book, and you could read the table of contents, and they'll give you just a little smidgen of a chapter or two where you can, like, read what the content.
Is there specific books that you would recommend?
I have read a lot of books on this topic.
Okay.
And I think that if you just did that, you're going to come up with probably 10 books that are going to very accurately quote study after study, but this is all to build your confidence.
Okay.
Would you, if your friend told you, I think there's a stock I want you to invest in, it's called Enron, or Bernie Madoff stock, you're not going to invest in that, even though somebody tells you to do it. But you might invest in a stock like, I don't know, Amazon or Walmart, something that has a proven track record. But I think what you'll do is you'll start gaining a very keen insight, and you'll probably make up your own mind on this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a movie called Vaxxed. You could just watch that right now if you wanted to.
Okay.
Or you could, do you have Netflix?
I don't.
Do you have YouTube?
Yes.
Type in Vaxxed.
Okay.
And just watch that and see what you come up with. And, of course, that's referring to, and this is highly, highly controversial.
It is, yeah.
Very, very controversial. So I'm not trying to tell anybody how to think about this, and this is such a controversial topic that I'm perfectly fine with a person making their own educated decision for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I can hear in your voice that you want to know the truth on this, don't you?
I definitely do. And also, one thing that worries me so much is seeing the different behaviors, and it makes me wonder if it has to do with the vaccines that are coming into kindergarten.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you, for example, a group of 20 students, maybe I have some, I guess you could say, normal functioning, maybe half the class. And I can see different things going on, which doesn't necessarily might have to do with vaccines, but I can see that there's something there.
How long have you been a teacher?
6 years.
And have you seen a difference over the last 6 years?
Great increase.
Oh my word!
And different populations. I would see it in one specific population, and now I see it it's. Let me tell you this: in a monolingual classroom, it was more. You could see it more. Those types of behavior. Now, bilingual, monolingual, it's going across the races. And I wonder if there are studies about that, how it could affect one race more than the other, or how it now it's affecting across the line.
Well, I think it's been well studied that if you speak more than one language, your brain capacity is quite a bit better than somebody that just speaks one, right?
Okay.
That's my way of saying you're super smart compared to me.
No.
Se habla español?
No, I think the Holy Spirit is the one that leads that area. I would not.
But if you ask God for wisdom, doesn't he say in the book of James that he will give it to you liberally? Which we all need it, don't we?
We do.
I don't know the answer to your question about monolingual versus bilingual, but I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. If I come across something, I will be glad to share it. But, I have never seen a time like right now where you have more kids that have tremendous behavioral and learning problems, and that's true.
Yes.
I mean, you're a teacher. There's nothing that breaks your heart more than to have a beautiful child in front of you, but it takes so much more energy and effort to get that child up to the speed with the normal ones, right?
Yes, it does.
But, yeah, vaccines is definitely worth a look. And I think if you looked at that movie called Vaxxed on YouTube, you might, it's a whole different level of education, but I would encourage you to do that.
Okay, I will.
And hopefully that'll answer some of the questions that you have, but you have great questions.
Yes, well, I'm just hoping God will give me the wisdom to help these babies because there's just too much that I'm seeing.
Has anyone ever told you that tú es muy inteligente?
No.
You know what? If anyone ever says the word genius in my office, I look around. You didn't know that my IQ is about 60, did you?
I did not know that.
Well, good to know.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm very thankful for your phone call. You're just the best teacher of all time.
No, thank you so much, and I appreciate all your support.
Well, you're welcome, and you're going to be such a tremendous blessing in all these kindergarten kids in your class.
All the
mamas are going to bring you apples and put them on your desk, aren't they?
I'm only hoping that they'll work with their babies.
That is good.
We have an amazing year, so
Keep
us in our prayers.
Well, may the Lord bless your year, and you may be really, you're going to really influence a lot of ways in a very powerful way. So, see, this is a gift that God has given you.
It's not a job.
This is your life calling and your gift, so keep it up. You're doing great.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your gift. I thank God for your gift every day. I just wish there were much more time in your day.
Well, thank you very much.
And more radio shows. I would love to hear more from you and just learn.
Well, you know what? I do have some thoughts that I haven't discussed with anybody. They're just in my heart right now. But maybe in the near future, all this will begin to expand and change for the better to bless more people. So thank you for your encouragement.
Thank God for that. Yes, sir. We love it. And thank you for anything that that God puts in your heart about our kids. Please share with us. Always looking for ways.
And I'm always
in prayer for them, especially this year. God has put me in my heart to work in a special way. So please keep us in your thoughts, too.
Absolutely. May the Lord bless you in every way.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
I love that scripture, deal bountifully with thy servant that I might live and keep thy word. That's a good one. All right. Actually, we're just completely at the end of the time. I can't take the next phone call. I apologize. This program is Health Essentials. I'm the host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The phone number here is 903-586-5257. Lord willing, I will see you next Saturday morning before the Labor Day weekend.